Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ben Baskin from SportsIllustrated.com. Now he's a super friend of the show because he was nice enough to let us call him back after Jarvis Landry sat down. Ben's got the cover story this week in Sports Illustrated, and he joins us right now on the hotline. Hey, how are you, Ben?
I'm doing well. I was going to say, is that any way to treat family? You know, you're bumping me for Jarvis, but I understand.
I'm sorry. Are we okay with that? I mean, I'll buy you dinner at our next family reunion.
At the next reunion. That's a deal.
All right, Ben, let's go back. What's the reaction been to your story about the Browns from yesterday, especially with the one, you know, the one bombshell in there about Odell Beckham's take saying that it was very personal for him when the Giants traded him and that he felt like they were sending him to Cleveland to die?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because the reaction to that comment has been so widespread, so, spread out on different spectrums because I think – as is kind of the case always with the culture of the media these days, is that that quote gets, called out and turned into a quote tweet by ESPN and Bleacher Report and every other, publication without any of the context of the article. So just on its own, those, two sentences doesn't sound like Odell is happy. But
right.
That is obviously not the case for anyone who read, the entire article. And the whole point of what Odell was saying was not, that he believes that he has been sent to Cleveland to die. He believes that that was sort of the stigma around the team for the last two decades, which I don't think anyone is going to deny, is that, there's been the belief that if you go to Cleveland, it's not good for your career. And his belief is that the Giants did that sort of out of spite, yet he's going to get the last laugh because these are not those same Browns. Now you have a quarterback and you have Odell and Jarvis and you have a stable of running backs and a strong defense. And so the whole point is not that, Odell believes that, he had been sent there and he was going to die. He believes that that was the intention of the team. And instead, he's going to prove that that's not going to be the case. So as long as that, I think if for people that read the article, that was pretty abundantly clear. But, I would imagine that 98% of the people who saw that quote yesterday probably had not read the article.
I agree with
you. The reaction to that has been interesting.
Ben Baskin from Sports Illustrated joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Ben, I think there isn't a Browns fan that wouldn't have argued with you 2 years ago about that line either. I think that's another it's interesting. I mean, even that he said it or that it's in the story, when you're 1-15 and 0-16, I'm sure that Bill Belichick thought that when Jamie Collins came here.
Yeah, and Jarvis said the same thing before he was, or after he was traded the year before, kind of the same belief that, I think a lot of players probably feel that way, that, you go to Cleveland, it hasn't been the most successful franchise or, it's been quite dysfunctional with coaches and general managers coming in and out. So there has been that prevailing belief that, you go to Cleveland and it is the worst thing you can do for your career. However, the whole point of the article is to show that that is no longer the case, or at least that is building the, the case that is no longer the case, as all signs are pointing that way. I know that probably, as I described it, there's some anticipation mixed with apprehension in the city because, it is Cleveland still, so a lot of people there are still sort of expecting the worst possible outcome because that is what you guys are accustomed to. I hope that is not the case.
All right, Ben, walk me backwards. I'm assuming you're either sitting in a meeting or having a conference call talking about, I'm sure the story came about, we're going to make the Browns the cover of SI. How did that play out? And I mean, that's got to kind of be an honor for you as somebody writes for SI too, that when you get the cover story, right? Or do you know what's coming?
Yeah, covers. There's a lot that goes on in the cover game that is too much to go into on the radio in terms of negotiations and all of that of covers. But
okay.
So, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt sometimes. It's obviously not always the best story lands on the cover, but, sure. You know, sometimes it is the case. I like to believe that is the case this week, but I will say it was a pretty obvious cover for us going into this season. You know, the Browns are the talk of the NFL. They are the hottest story. They are the most hyped team. They are the team that everyone has the most expectations and anticipation to watch how they play, regardless if you're rooting for them or rooting against them. I think that the story there, the history, the recent history, but also the you know, early history that I tried to get into in the story of, you know, going back to the 40s and 50s and 60s makes this the story for the Browns, you know, resurgence, renaissance, if you will, even more sort of impactful. So I think it's a pretty easy cover for us going into the season, which is saying a lot for the Browns, because I don't think in the last 20 years that we've ever even considered putting them on the cover in a way that maybe wasn't a joke. So that in and of itself, just the fact that they were a shoe-in, shows how far the franchise has come in just a short period of time.
Ben, you talked to a lot of people along the way in your story too, Jim Brown, Mike Polk. What's the most fascinating part to you when you were like, wow, this is, I love this. This is my story because this fascinates me.
Oh, the funny you mentioned that, because I was just speaking with someone who didn't make it into my story. As I told them that I for all of the stories I write, about 75% of my reporting doesn't actually tangibly make it into the story, you know, in terms of quotes or names, but everyone, you know, rounds out the perspective. And one of the ones that was most interesting to me was actually a woman I spoke to named Ruth Lieberman, who is the president of the Browns fan club all the way over in Israel.
Oh, wow.
And I spoke with her. She has a guy. She's a Cleveland native, and she has a fan club. She has a Browns flag planted outside her house about 20 minutes south of Jerusalem. She's got hundreds of members. They host the Browns fans to watch the games every weekend. They've done it for years and years. And she kind of gave me a glimpse. I tried to kind of capture the Cleveland fan perspective. I spoke with, you know, many more that weren't quoted, but just the devotion from a Cleveland native in Israel to turn her house, you know, outside of Jerusalem into this haven for any sort of Brown fan that finds himself in Israel to come to. Was sort of a fascinating thing for me. So I'm glad you asked that, because I loved hearing her story, and I was just narratively, I wasn't able to get it into the actual finished product.
It just got cut. What about Jim Brown, your thoughts on talking to him about what he thought about the season?
Well, Jim Brown, that was, you know, one of the cooler interviews I can do. You know, talking to Jim is a legend of football and sports and everything. And he was very optimistic. I think that stands out, is that he wasn't sort of, you know, mincing words. He didn't say let's wait and see. He seemed very happy to see that the Browns appear to be back, like he remembers them in his career, and not just his career, but he remembers sort of when he was drafted into the NFL, being on the Browns was the best place you could land. Like, that was where players wanted to get drafted in the 50s. They had the early dynasty, you know, before pre-Super Bowl era, pre-NFL really too. And they had won, you know, championships every year. They were competitive. They were sort of the most respected franchise in a city that at the time was really thriving, you know, in industrially. So to me, that was really interesting that Jim kind of was seeing the full circle of how, you know, the city has been, you know, coming back in a lot of ways, is something I heard from a lot of people there, and also the team sort of paralleling that and, you know, coming full circle. And obviously it's the 100th year anniversary of the NFL, so that, you know, wasn't lost on a lot of people either.
Ben Baskin from Sports Illustrated, sportsillustrated.com. He's got the cover story this week with the Browns right there on the cover. What do you think the national perspective is on the Browns? Are people rooting for them? Vegas says they're 10-1 to win the Super Bowl. Are people rooting for the Browns nationally? Last year it kind of felt like they were America's team coming out of Hard Knocks and watching that. What do you think now with Odell Beckham Jr. here and where they are?
It's becoming a problem of oversaturation, I think. I think a few months ago people were rooting for the Browns. I think it's, which should be a pretty clear underdog sort of story of people to root for this team that hasn't won and has a fan base that has remained loyal and steadfast for years, even, you know, previous to them getting, you know, stolen by Modell and, you know, the years of heartbreak. So I think you should be rooting for Cleveland. But the problem is, in the last few months, it seems you got a lot of guys that make a lot of news on that team. And every week or so, it seems like Baker has something or Odell has something. And the way the media works these days, you know, the news on TV, on Colin Cowherd and First Take and every, you know, channel that's going to be having guys, you know, bloviate and talking heads talk about it, they're going to get kind of tired of it. So my feeling from what I've gathered from my Twitter feed is the national fan is kind of sick of the Browns hype. And I got a lot of, you know, they haven't won a game yet, let alone that, you know, disregard the fact that I wrote none of the headlines about, you know, that, you know, we kind of had some over-the-top sort of Browns are back and Super Bowl talk in there. My story had nothing, you know, to do with any of that. I didn't predict anything, but a lot of people seem to be sort of the, let's see if they can have a winning season before we, you know, give them this much attention, which is fair to an extent in the current, you know, climate of how media works. But on the flip side, they are the most interesting team in the league, and they have players that are interesting and a narrative that's interesting, a coach that's interesting, and they're the team we want to talk about. So I don't know. I think that'll play out all season long, though.
Ben, thank you very much. I'll see you at the family reunion. Of course, read his story at SI.com. Ben Baskin, thank you very much. Appreciate your time, bud.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Ben Baskin from Sports Illustrated. He's got the cover story on SI. And, of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ho-ho! How about that, Jonathan Wells? You heard that little nugget he dropped in at the end.
Yeah.
Oversaturation of the Browns nationally.
I can see it. You know, like I said, I'm to the point right now, I want them to win. So let's get it on.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Also, Darryl Ryder's going to join us later in the hour. Baskin and Phelps, Jonathan Wells is here too.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.